Has Aaron commented on the increase in gray hair? Maybe it's just the camera angle, but it looks like you're really pushing the silver fox thing.
Does it? She has commented on that actually recently. That has started to happen. I thought that by keeping it short, it sort of prevents people from seeing that. And like to my eye, like I have a filter on my eyes, I guess, because I literally don't see it.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. But yeah, that's happening for sure. But hey, I made it to 43 before people started noticing, so that's good.
The stress of the last few months, I think, has taken a toll because I swear I'm increasing in gray hairs rapidly compared to where I was just before. And anyway,
Yeah. Well, you're
it
getting
looks
there soon.
good. I think you'll look more refined, more, stately.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
could see that.
like a
My
senior
authority
statesman
goes up.
of the vegan movement. All right, so we're talking about protein today, and it has been such a hectic day, so I'll allow you to make fun of me. I didn't even grab a fork. I need to
Okay.
eat something. I grabbed a tofu and a knife, and I thusly can eat it like a popsicle. Just a
Okay.
block of tofu. It's cold. It is marinated in a teriyaki, so it's not just straight, flavorless tofu. But I think we could, maybe sell something like this, a tofu popsicle. Are you in or no?
You marinated it, or that's like the it comes in a package ready to eat kind.
Comes in a package.
Okay. And you
Comes
don't even heat it up or anything. You're just eating it right out of there like a barbarian.
Well, I mean, frankly, barbarian doesn't really fit the vegan kind of vibe that I'm going for. So I'm not sure that I'd call it barbaric, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely unrefined for sure.
Okay. All right, good. Well, yeah, so you said we are talking about protein, but I mean the way you pitch it to me is that you put on a bunch of muscle in the past over this past several months of I think you said 15, 20 pounds in 6 months. And I'm always interested in that. I go on little muscle building binges here and there. Usually they're
Yeah.
faster than that. And then I gain a bunch of muscle and I'm always happy with how I can do that on a plant-based diet. But then when I stop eating that way, it just melts away because I just can't sustain the kind of eating it takes for me to do that. So I'm actually interested if you got a long-term kind of slow build approach.
Well, I don't, yeah, I mean, look, I haven't stopped that process. So maybe it will all go away. The eating is real. The eating is a pain in the butt. I'm not a fan of eating. I think we talked about that before, where like if it was up to me, I'd probably fast most of the day and just rely on, some matcha lattes for the vast majority of my calorie intake, because I prefer to be sort of lean and clear-headed and not waste time on eating, as you can see. And then come, 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I've gotten already, a solid 8 to 10 hours of work in, like then I like to like just start slowing down and make a big salad or a pasta or whatever it is and eat probably all my calories in that window. That's my preference. What I've had to do, because I've never counted macros in my life until this experiment, and I am now shooting for, really 150 grams of protein. I might even be compelled to say we need more than that. But what I've really tried to do is get a diverse set of amino acids, as we've talked about. So not just, what would it be like 10 scoops of complement protein, because then, while it is a diverse set of aminos, and that's why we created that product, making sure I get at least a can of bean, some sort of tofu or tempeh, and then, other legumes or high protein sources throughout the day. And like I said, it's kind of a pain. It's really a chore. Because obviously you use the supplemental sources as well. But it's hard to get to that macro number, I find. And it makes me eat like I have to eat right when I get up. I'm eating right after I work out. I'm eating, sometime during the day. Then I'm eating dinner, and then I'm usually having a protein shake or something before bed. But yeah, I mean, I've put on a lot of strength and a lot of muscle, the strength being the more important part for me, So whether looking at deadlifts or squats or bench press, I've never, you know, I've never like challenged myself to see like what is my one rep max on bench or something. But I'm repping like 215 and I weigh now like 185. I mean, that's five sets, 10 to 12 each set. So, I mean, it's considerably stronger than I've ever been. And I really do attribute it to, well, one, I've stopped drinking, you know, entirely. We've talked about that, so I won't go into it. But just given everything going on with the family in the last 4 months, it's just been, you know, zero socializing. So even the few nights a month where I might have been inclined. So that may or may not, but it wasn't ever, I wasn't prior to that drinking on a daily basis anyway. So it's hard to imagine that that would have, I think that probably has more to do with like the lean side of the equation rather than the mass building. Yeah. But the strength building and the mass building, I'd say, you know, like it's pretty noticeable, and I'm happy to take my shirt off if you think we need a visual, but I'll leave it to your imagination. So I went, I guess last thing, I went from like 165, 170. I was running throughout the summer, you know, like easily, gosh, I don't know, 50 to 100 miles a week minimum. And I was like 165, 170. And then coming into the winter, just really focused on strength training. And like I said, first time ever where I've really like just kept, I mean, I'm not writing it down. I'm just like kind of ballparking, you know, 25, 30 grams for a can of beans. And, you know, the tempeh strips are 50 grams. These tofus are 34. And then you just kind of add it up in your mind at the end of the day and make sure you get to, like I say, over 150 grams of protein. And, you know, nuts, seeds, legumes, you know, and then, like I say, these soy products are kind of the core. And I'm up like, you know, I've hit my high was like 190, 192. So that's, 22 pounds up. But I've, you know, kind of gone back and forth, did a prolonged drop like 10 pounds in 3 days. So that's the story.
All right. So I got a couple questions. So you said something about, you said at the beginning, you said, I'm tempted to say we need more than 150. When you say need, what are you talking about? Because aside from the difficulty of eating that much, not just protein, but food in general, the other thing that deters me from doing it up is I start to get scared. I'm like, this can't be healthy for me to eat this much protein or this much food, period. So what, when you say need 150, what do you mean for optimal muscle building or for optimal health or what?
It's a good call. We definitely don't need it. And you're right. It may not be good, but for all the reasons that we know. But I think for short periods of time, you know, to put on lean muscle mass and then going off of that. So I intend to go back down to closer to a natural, which I think is probably 70 to 100 grams max. If I was eating naturally, there's no way I would break that number, right? Because like, you know, I usually eat one large meal a day and maybe have something along and then have a protein shake after I work out. And it's only because of the supplemental protein, the shake, that I'm even getting to that number, because you have to eat a tremendous number of, like I say, you have to make it a point, you know, of legumes and this and that to get to those higher numbers. If you're eating a truly whole food plant-based diet, you know, with like Furman's G-Bomb type salad, right, during the day, and you're having a tofu scramble in the morning, and you're having a Indian lentil stew at night, those would be, I think, higher protein selections. And there's no way, I think, with reasonable quantities, that you're getting over 70 to 90 in a normal setting like that. So you're absolutely right. For longevity, I'm going to go back to that normal lower protein, and I'm going to try to maintain the added muscle composition through strength training and see if I can, you know, not lose it by bringing the protein down. But for short periods of time to get that up, because I do think there's also some good longevity science that says more lean muscle on your body, higher metabolic baseline rate. Those things are good things. And so, you know, and I like the challenge. So it's been fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. I mean, I definitely like the muscle. I think since I read Peter Attia's book is kind of when I got more thinking about this, but he's a big fan of muscle as you get to older age. And I guess the short-term nature of muscle, like the fact that it can be built and just, you know, used up so quickly, that makes you think if the point of muscle is to have it into old age, why not just kind of wait till you get to old age and then get it? I mean, which is, you obviously don't want to wait too long because then it might get hard to get it. But I don't know. I just like the difficulty of maintaining that muscle for 30, 40 years to get to the point where it will benefit me from lowering fall risk or whatever. It just seems like a crazy amount of eating and effort to keep it up. But I do think it's, you know, it's definitely, you hear more about it. I also think protein is like, I guess I don't know where I stand on protein. You hear all this stuff, like you alluded to, that it's not good for longevity at younger ages. But as we get to be, or I should say at you know, this is whatever, adult, midlife age, as you get older than that, it becomes more important, perhaps because of its help with keeping muscle mass on. But yeah, and like, I don't know, it's like as goofy as it is that everyone thinks protein is the healthy nutrient, fat and carbs are the problem ones. And like, that's like, that has made it into the mainstream, right? Protein is good. The other things in general are bad. As much as that seems goofy and like we make fun of it, I also think like if you're eating high protein, that also means you're not eating a whole lot of junk. Like in general, I know there are junky forms of protein, but I think in general, like if you look at how much the different macros people consume and compare that to the person's weight, I bet the higher protein people generally have less obesity or lower BMI. It makes builds muscle, but I don't know. I tend to think it's a kind of a healthy nutrient. I just don't know about long-term. So I don't know. Have you like, are you up on that kind of data and what, I don't know, like what is the role of protein in a diet? And
I think that, like you say, if you target protein as like, I don't know, there's probably a great smart way of putting it, sort of like the filtering or the limiting, you know, function, right? Where it's like, if you're optimizing for protein intake, yeah, you're right. Like you will make smarter choices because, you know, the foods that are higher in protein are generally less that come in like refined carbohydrates, right? Like, you know, you can't a piece of bread, right? Like you're not going to choose that, you know, because volumetrically you're going to take up too much space with something that, right? I don't think that you should base your diet necessarily around protein solely, right? We all know if you're eating a carnivore diet, right, there's going to be some micronutrients you're missing. You're going to miss out on the fiber. But I think, you know, the keto philosophy, you know, and maybe even something along the lines of like the paleo philosophy, I think if you pull the best thinking out of all these different schools of thought, and you layer on top what I think is a required ethical basis in how you eat and relate to, you know, your ecology, right? The environment around you and the resources it takes. I think ending up something along the lines of eating as little refined foods as possible, right? So something along the lines of a paleo philosophy, eating higher protein and lower refined carbohydrates, as you might hear in like a keto philosophy, and eating a whole food plant-based diet so you get the high fiber, high water content, high nutrient to calorie ratio. That's kind of, you know, I think there's a very sustainable, you know, very evidence-based way of eating that kind of takes, like I say, the best of those, of all those ideas.
Mm-hmm. You didn't mention fat though. You think fat over carbs in general? Is that a
preferred? Yeah, you're right. I guess that I skipped over that more controversial keto idea. I think fat is just so calorie dense that in this day and age with the foods available to us and the taste buds that we have developed culturally, I'd probably stay away from it rather than encourage it. Only insofar as saying that, you know, it's really, really easy to overeat if you are consuming a high level of sugars or fats, right?
Right.
Like refined processed sugar. and fat. Super easy. And that's to your point about protein. It's really, really easy to not overeat, right? If you're, I mean, it's like the old bodybuilder, you know, the bodybuilder diet. That's kind of where I've been, right? Like historically, I'm not eating chicken. Historically, you would always hear about like it's chicken, right? It's unbreaded steamed chicken and like steamed broccoli. And like that's all bodybuilders ate. And that's kind of how my plate looks more and more recently, right? It's like, actually, it's funny to talk about chicken because I tried the meaty.
I just had one. I had it the other day, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I want to learn more. I refrain from official endorsement until I learn more. But like, it's a fairly clean label, as compared to a number of quote processed meat analogs. You know, it's mycelium, so it's like it's a fungi. It's a mushroom in some ways.
It's not the fruiting body though, right? It's the root system of the mushroom, so whatever type they use. So you can have a mushroom allergy or whatever, and you can still eat mycelium and be okay potentially.
Right, and not psychoactive. So the trips are rather tame. Much to learn for us in the mycelium realm.
You get any stomach upset after eating that meaty?
Did my stomach go? No, but I have like an iron stomach.
Okay. I generally do too. Someone on our podcast, Bianca, or on the morning show, she tried meaty and apparently she then found out because she spent the whole night after that throwing up in the bathroom. And she then Googled, found out some amount of people have an actual mycelium, whatever, intolerance or allergy. It's not the same as mushrooms because like I said, it's not the fruiting body. It's different. And so she can't do it. She's one of the people who cannot eat that product. And I had it again for only the second time. And it was, you know, months after I first talked about it there and then heard the story and my stomach was hurting all yesterday. And I just wondered if it was like placebo, my brain just doing this, or if it's more of a sensitive thing than people realize. I don't know, but I agree with you. I hope not, because I agree. It seems like a really clean, good protein alternative. And I had the carne asada one, it tastes remarkably and texture remarkably like steak, and yet there's like zero fat in it. It's like it's just whatever protein, and I guess some carbohydrate, fiber. I mean, I can believe it. So if you cook that thing in some oil or something, I mean, you'd have something that seems satisfying like a steak was. So I don't know. I think there's potential.
Yeah, yeah, I'm encouraged. I think, you know, what I keep hearing is like it's the third wave of plant-based foods the third wave.
Okay, I haven't heard that yet for I've heard it for plant-based cheese, but
yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they bring together for a third wave cheese option. But it makes sense that I think about that, right? Because we did go through that second wave, which was the Beyonds and the Impossibles, and you know, I mean, I was really aggravated because we are blessed to use Instacart. But the downside of that is your shoppers sometimes will replace the item. And so they replace the Beyond sausages with like, what was it? Like Sun Farms, one of those big brands. Morningstar? Okay. Morningstar's Veggie Links or whatever, right?
Okay.
But the Veggie Links, it's the most horrendous ingredient list I've ever seen. It's truly like it's first of all, it's got eggs. So
yeah, that's weird about those Morningstar things. I don't know what they're doing with that.
Yeah, so egg doesn't work. It's like wheat doesn't work for us. And then just horrendous ingredients, right?
Yeah.
And so I think this next wave of, you know, using cleaner ingredients and trying to create these things, I'm really excited about. But anyway, getting back to the point, you asked about fats. You know, I think right now the way I'm eating is kind of like that sort of vegan bodybuilder, so to speak, where it's like, you know, a protein source, very clean, like this, you know, straight tofu, tempeh. I've been, you know, doing those meaty things on occasion, the Beyond sausage, whatever, if you do it for the family and it's kind of a fun night. There's also something called barbecue.
Yeah. Love that. It's made in Charlotte. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Can you get it at your local store? Cause I ordered it online. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's even in our like normal grocery stores. Yeah, that stuff's great, and that's pretty clean. It's like sweet potato and
yeah,
I don't know, some other kind of
soybean and sweet potato. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, so like that's another great example. And so, you know, those are so to get back to your question, like do you wrap that in a taco and add, you know, vegan sour cream and cheese and like, you know, or what I've been doing more recently and kind of along the lines of that a keto philosophy is like just eat the straight, you know, sweet potato soybean carnitas, which granted so maybe sweet potato wouldn't fall in that keto thing. I'm not really into the keto thing as much. It's a really easy way to kind of, I don't know. I'm more of a machine. I just look for the fuel.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're talking about eating lower carbohydrate stuff, but the reality is you're eating a lot of beans. So you're still getting plenty of starches and fibers and carbohydrates, but good complex carbohydrates. So, it would be very hard to eat a whole food or mostly whole food plant-based diet and not eat a lot of carbohydrate. It just comes, but if it's not refined carbohydrates, you can still achieve a lot of these sort of fitness goals. And I think the long-term goals as well. But, if I do like, the Tim Ferriss thing, slow carb diet, we eat a lot of some of those plant proteins, but just a lot of beans and like almost no grain for a little while, like you'll lose weight really quick. Or at least I will lose fat really quickly. And that's a good thing. So I think, I don't know. I guess I just want to clarify that, like, we're not talking about going off carbohydrates and eating plant protein and vegetables, although you could.
Yeah, it'd be really hard.
Yeah. So, all right. Generally speaking, how's the mac? Like, what do you think about the macro counting idea? Like, I keep wondering if that it just has seemed like kind of hocus pocus. Like, it always seems like every diet is built around this idea that you're going to count this stuff and get exactly the right thing and dial it in and optimize it. It's very tempting to think that's the secret to getting, you know, the body and the longevity that you want and eat like a machine. But it's not really the natural way to eat at all. And it's not the Blue Zones philosophy, right? Very different from just having like this sort of healthy relationship where you just eat some amount of food till you're full, make good choices. I don't know. So you don't seem like, as much as I know you like the optimizing kind of stuff, you don't seem like a macro eater, for too long. How's the macro counting going for you? I know you said you're not strictly counting, but
yeah, I mean, I'm not writing it down. I think the universe sent me enough signals because I've been working out like diligently, and I go through phases again while I'm just like running a ton versus strength training versus, you know, trying to do something functional and yoga, whatever. And, you know, but I've done this strength training kick for forever in cycles, right? Mm-hmm. I've never really like sustained any significant like body composition change, right? Like I can cut down fat really easily, you know,
right,
you know, in all the ways that we've talked about and can talk about another conversation. I think I've gained strength, but I've ended up injuring myself in the process. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, I go on to some sort of yoga rehab and then, you know, get back into it slowly. And then, you know, the cycle starts over again. So I had enough signals that kind of reached me and they just sort of were really kind of focusing on a couple compound lifts like squats or deadlifts or, you know, military kind of like shoulder press, right? Bench press, you know, and really functional stuff, suitcase carry, like uneven weights, right? Stuff to prevent injury, like starting off with low weights so I don't injure myself, which I've constantly done and like really been diligent in the gym that way. And as I did it, you know, I realized that like, I probably also, because I don't count macros and because I've, you know, tried to eat a whole food diet, like I probably wasn't getting enough protein relative to the experts that you and I know would tell you have to hit these numbers. And we're not talking about mainstream meathead experts that are saying like, you got to get 1 gram for every, you know, for every pound of body weight, or maybe as much as like 1.25 or 1.5 grams, right? Like that would put me at eating 250 grams of protein a day. And it would be truly impossible unless, you know, about 150 of that was pea protein in supplemental form, right? And so, like I say, it's just from that vantage point, I was like, all right, I'm going to really try to just count in my mind, you know, what happens in a day. And I started doing that, and I realized I was in like that 70 to 90 range. And it was only because I was having 30 grams of protein in my complement protein shake, or two of those, because otherwise I would have been closer to 60. And so I did this, like, kind of, I don't know, I just made a connection in my mind. I said, all right, well, there's enough bodybuilders out there. There's enough, you know, physiologists. Is that not, why am I? Sports physiologist. Yeah. Okay. Gym rats of all name and credentials, who emphasize that you gotta provide your body enough of these amino acid building blocks to allow it to do the building it needs, the recovery and repair work it needs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, well, I'm doing the opposite with my, like, you know, 60 grams of vegan protein a day. So what if I, you know, and early on, I just added like another protein shake. I really didn't like that. So I started putting beans in my protein shake, or just eating a can of beans on my salad or whatever. And like, just really making a concerted effort to add in like an extra one, and in some cases, an extra two really high protein snacks, like what you just saw, a block of tofu. And in doing so, I think it's had an effect. Like I said, it's the only thing I've changed for the first time. And and I'm gonna keep going. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Maybe next time we talk, I'm gonna have, you know, a neck that's just like one of those footballers, you know, just like these traps that go up to my ear.
Right. Well, I like the lifting philosophy. I think, you know, I'm in agreement. I think I read some of the same people, but the compound lifts, of course, that stuff is good. The functional, always good. No, nothing new there. That's, we all know that, I think. But so that's good. So I'm glad you're doing that. What was I going to ask? Oh, it was funny. Well, you were saying that you've never sustained a body sort of composition transformation or body, you know, change for a while. I was thinking about how true that is. And that's really true for me too. Like, as much as my health and, you know, fitness journey, I guess, has been a gradual upward chart, like it's improving, I think, as I just eat better and better over time. With some dips downward with fitness, I had to go through gaps where I'm not doing much at all, and then I get back on it. When I actually try to change body composition, like actually do something, like I said, the slow carb diet, plant-based version of it, of course, or try to put on muscle for a while, like, although they're all, like, they all get results, none of them last. Like, it's just a fun little diversion. And then 3 months later, I'm back to where I was before I started that thing, or very close to it, just because it, you know, like, when you focus on something really hard, you can change it. It's great. It's cool that you can do that with your body, and to understand how things work enough. It's a good feeling to see your body change. But to make any of it last, like, it just involves, I guess for me, like, it's just never important enough. Like, I don't care that much about having the body fat stay low when I feel like I'm healthy otherwise, or get the muscle mass up, until over time I'll shrink down too small, and then I'll be like, man, I got to put on some muscle and get bigger again. So I don't know. I'm just like, and I was thinking maybe these things don't matter, right? Like obviously if you're completely out of shape, they do. And you do need to find a way to get healthy and make it last. But if you are healthy, I don't know. I actually thought that's where you were going to go with it, saying, like, you know, what does it really matter over the long term, what your body fat is or how much you can lift. But I don't know.
I think you bring up some very good and depressing points, which is all of my progress will disappear.
But as we said at the beginning, this is over a longer term thing already, right? So this already says a little bit more lifestyle change than quick dive into a new experiment.
True. But like I said, my goal, because it is a chore, and I would much rather at least go till noon or later without my first meal. I just feel better that way.
Definitely.
I'm more clear-headed, more energetic in the morning. So waking up in the morning, and even now, it's 11 o'clock at night, and I've already had a protein shake with a bunch of nuts, seeds, and beans in it, plus complement protein. and now some tofu and some more nuts. And I don't feel the same like energy, right? Like I don't know why, but probably because my body is focused on processing. I won't continue that. And my hope is though that I'll have, you know, built the muscle mass such that if I continue strength training and still have a healthy whole food plant-based diet with maybe a little bit of supplemental protein to help with the recovery and the maintenance, I hope I will maintain it. Because I won't, you know, and I don't want to maintain it if it requires that I have to sacrifice like a bunch of other stuff, like my energy levels, which are more important to me than, but like you say, it's not about being able to lift heavy, or it's not being able to, or some sort of superficial goal. Like it's for me much more intrinsic in that one, my kids are getting older and they climb me like a tree. And I really enjoy being able to pick up like all three at once and safely throw them in different directions, right? Like without an injury. So like to me, it's like that stuff. It's injury prevention and I just love being in the gym. I really, really like that is one thing that if I could, I'd probably be the type of person who worked out for multiple hours a day. Like I'll put on audiobook and I just, you know, love the burn. And unfortunately I can't and I have to build in recovery days and all that stuff. But so again, just for my own ego, I don't think I would do this stuff. But there's those other benefits that I enjoy.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, I think we can leave it there. I think lest anybody think that we're talking about eating a crazy protein diet and recommending it. I think if you eat a whole food plant-based diet, you avoid the refined carbohydrates and maybe you add some protein to it in the form of a protein supplement, like the one that we make at Compliment Protein, which we call the world's cleanest protein, or another form, right? Or some extra beans or whatever. Like I feel like that's probably the best way to eat as far as covering basically. I do have that protein concern. Like I just don't feel quite like I used to, like just completely confident that you just eat 100% plant-based diet. You get 12% of your calories from protein or 10% of your calories from protein, which I think is the number T. Colin Campbell cites in Forks Over Knives. I just feel like that might not be enough compared to what is optimal. So I think making a little extra effort to get whatever it is, 20 more grams of protein per day, even if from a source where it is an isolated or a concentrated source, like most protein powders or Beyond or Impossible, I don't know. I just feel like that's not too crazy of a recommendation. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think about that as we send people off?
Well, I think that's a fine last word. And and that's exactly what I'm doing, right? It's a whole food plant-based diet, which is itself lower in protein compared to some other dietary patterns. But if you add to me, you know, yeah, if you had to add animal products or like a tremendous amount of supplemental protein to get to the macros, it's not worth it to me. But beans are tied to like some of the most high longevity kind of risk factors out there, right? So like having a can of beans every day, you know, or tempeh, also super high in protein. It's fermented.
What about the anti-nutrients? What about lectins and phytates?
Sure, those will kill you. yeah. But hey, can't win them all, right? All right. Take it easy. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Matt. Talk to you later.